And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
What's up, RBLR Nation? Hope y'all are having a great night, great evening. This is RBLR Bucks. I am Carter Brantley, one of your co-hosts for the evening. I am joined by Mr. Tyler Masalo. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
I am hanging in there. We are coming up on the end of summer camp, so it's starting to be a little bit more relaxing.
You're about to go back to school, right? Like you're going to UCF?
It'll be USF, actually. Go
Bulls. Hey, go Bulls, baby.
I have 3 weeks left, so.
Oh, yeah, because you know. August 24th is that first
Something
day?
Like that, yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, my new job is at USF, and so I've been there the last 2 weeks now. And yeah, man, go Bulls, baby.
Yeah, man, I'll be driving 45 minutes each way.
Yeah, dude, same here, man. Yeah, it is not a fun drive, and I'm not, no offense, I'm not looking forward for students to come back.
No offense taken.
Yeah, it's gonna be so annoying because like it's so cool now, you can park and like relax and like walk and like, hey,
oh man, there's gonna be no parking spots soon.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be a disaster. But this is a Buck show. We're here talking about USF. We'll get to our USF shows at some point. But yeah, there's a lot going on this week. For it's like, you know, the Bucks were quiet for a long time. The offseason kind of rolls along and nothing happens, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh my goodness, there's stuff happening. What do we do? And yeah. So two big news stories that we're gonna get to. We're kind of gonna have each half devoted to one segment or one news story. The first one is the biggest one, the Vita Vea trade requests. And we're going to talk about that. And then the second half, we'll talk about the Baker Mayfield extension or non-extension. He didn't get one. And apparently they are leaving the negotiation table. Like they're not going to continue talking about it. So we'll get to that in the second half, talk about how smart this is for either side, how much of a risk it is for either side, all that stuff. So definitely stick around for that. And if this is your first time tuning in, if you are a first time listener, thank you. Welcome. Hope you enjoy the show. Hit that like and subscribe button if you like what you hear. You can also give us a follow at RBLR Bucks or at RBLR Sports. We're on most, all, if not all, social medias under that handle. I guess I shouldn't say all because I'm sure there are some weird channels out there that we're not a part of. But regardless, start with the Vita Vea trade request because that's the big news. They are not making much progress, apparently, with contract negotiations, and he has formally requested a trade. You know, a lot of times with these types of things, this is just kind of a negotiation tactic. This is the player just trying to use what little leverage he has to kind of put his foot down and say, hey, take this seriously. You know, like, hey, I want to get paid. And for the most part, it leads to, you know, it leads to both sides settling and saying, all right, let's work something out. But every once in a while, you know, we've seen in the past, like, sometimes a trade request actually is a trade request. You know, they end up getting dealt. So, but regardless, like whether this is a trade request or whether it doesn't end up actually coming to fruition, there's been a lot of kind of overreactions in my mind. Like Vita Vea is a good player. Vita Vea is a very valuable player. I would love for him to stay in a Bucks uniform. It would be awesome to see him kind of finish out his career as a Buck. You know, I'm always an advocate for that because that's just, it's just cool to see. The Bucks don't have, you know, their history is not as rich as some other teams, to say the least. And so Vita Vea would be like one of the best defensive linemen of all time for the Bucks, and it would be cool to see him retire that way. But all that aside, he's still on the wrong side of 30. It's very specialized what he does, and he does what he does very well, but it's not necessarily the most valuable thing you can do in the NFL. So are some people overreacting, you think, Tyler, like when you were looking through Buck's Twitter? What were your thoughts on the Vita Vea trade request?
I think a lot of people immediately jumped to the wrong conclusion, which was that this is all Todd Bowles' fault and it's another sign that he needs to be fired. This is almost entirely unrelated to that. Right. Vea has had high praise for Bowles in the past as one of the leaders on the team. Yeah. Bowles basically, like I don't want to say he picked Vea because that's not true, but Vea's been on the team almost as long as Bowles at this point.
Yeah.
And you know, like you said, he has a very specialized role. He is one of the best in the league at you know, stopping the run as a nose tackle. But again, how valuable is that? There are 18 defensive tackles that are paid more than him. Only four are his age, in his cohort. And frankly, they're all better pass rushers than him too. So that's kind of the sticking point. I mean, yeah. Vea has what, 30 career sacks? It's not a ton. It's got to be somewhere in that range. And, you know, he's a clubhouse leader. He's well-liked in the community. He's a fan favorite, honestly. But is he worth more than $21 or $22 million a year? Currently, he's being paid $17. And I think that's kind of – ultimately, if they do end up settling, that's where they will settle. While you were talking about, like, you know, this is kind of a negotiation tactic, it reminded me of just about this time last year, Myles Garrett requested a trade, maybe a little bit earlier in the year. Ultimately played out the season with the Cleveland Browns and will no longer be with the team as he was traded a year later.
Yes. So,
you know, the NFL is just kind of like that. In the NBA, a trade request means imminently this player will be dealt within the next week. In the NFL, it just doesn't work like that.
Yeah, it's really fascinating how different the different sports are with these things. Because I mean, I'm trying to think about baseball. Like, I can't think of the last time a guy like
requested a trade, really, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I think Aaron Civale requested a trade last year.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was last year, but it was recently. It was really weird. Like, of all of the players in baseball to have formally requested a trade, Aaron Civale doing so is like one of the funniest. No offense to Aaron Civale. Like, I don't even know if he's still in Major League Baseball.
He might be like a Minnesota Twin or something like that.
Yeah, somewhere random. Yeah, Vita Vey is like a much bigger name than Aaron Civale. I'm not trying to make a comparison, but more so just comparing the different sports' approaches to these kinds of things. And yeah, like you said, that the NFL just works very differently than the rest of the leagues when it comes to these things. And ironically, I think we brought up Myles Garrett and now he's on the Rams. And if you look at like betting odds or if you look at whatever you want to talk about, it seems like one of the teams that could be in conversation for landing Vita Vea would be the Rams. That's kind of the first team that came to my mind. They're very much in win now mode. They're very much in like push their chips in type of mindset. Were there any other teams that kind of came to your mind when you thought of potential landing spots for Vita Vea?
Off the top of my head, there were a couple that I immediately like saw and was like, that'd be interesting. Buffalo was one of them. I'm not sure what any of these cap situations are. The Chargers was also interesting. I think his agent mentioned that he wanted to play on the West Coast or for the Oakland Raiders or the Vegas Raiders, I should say.
Sure.
I don't know. It'd be funny if Spytek went and traded for him to get him on the Raiders, Spytek and Brady.
Yeah.
That might be the funniest outcome. Yeah. I also saw a lot of Seahawks fans trying to pair him with Byron Murphy on that defensive front. That would be disgusting. But yeah, I think the Rams with Myles Garrett and Vita Vea and potentially Aaron Donald, depending on who you believe,
that would be
pretty nasty. I think they'd be Super Bowl favorites automatically.
Yeah. I mean, they kind of, in my mind,
they probably are already honestly.
Right. But that definitely puts them in some really fascinating conversations and it's tough because then that just continues to, I mean, you know, it's the whole F them picks, not saying the whole word. That's the whole Rams mentality. But man, it would be taking it to quite an extreme because then they wouldn't have a first or a, you know, let's. I think the going rate or I saw friend of the show Joshua Quapo say that a realistic return for Vita Vea was probably around a third round pick, which seemed about right. I don't know how him requesting a trade affects his like because like maybe on paper that's his trade value, but I wonder like hey. You know, if the Bucks were to call up a team that they were like, hey, Vita Vea just requested a trade. Let me get a third round pick for him. Like, no, we're not going to use, you know, don't use us as trade or as, you know, negotiation leverage. Like we'll give you a fifth at most. And this late in the off season, you know, like we're getting into training camp mode, you know? And so it's getting late and yeah, I'm fascinated. Does a third round pick sound like too much, too little? What do you think about the potential return for Vea if he were to actually get traded?
In a similar vein, like, you know, I for a couple of years now I've been thinking like, what would it take to get Vita Vea in the Hall of Fame? And this is another one of those questions where like, what is a run-stopping nose tackle worth?
Yeah,
I think a good gauge for that is like, what do you think of Haloti Ngata? Like, would you trade a first round pick for him?
No, that's not
no,
right.
No, you wouldn't. I think a third rounder is honestly maybe even an overpay. I'm not sure people are going to want to take on that contract this late in the year.
Because then you'd have to extend him. Like
you have to extend him. That's contingent in this trade. Is you have to extend Vita Vea. That's what he's looking for.
Right.
So yeah, it's such an ugly situation this late in the offseason.
Yeah.
But at his age, with his injury history, like, you can't really blame him. He wants the financial security. He has definitely taken some pay cuts in the past, you know, to help facilitate some competitive pedigree in Tampa Bay. This is going to be probably not even resolved in the next 2 weeks. That's my prediction.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. That was kind of going to be one of my next questions, was like, how quickly you think this will be resolved. And yeah, I'm kind of with you, man. Like, it's late in the offseason, but at the same time, like, we also have, like, I think a whole month at least until, like, regular season games. Yeah. And a lot can happen, man. It's, you know, the NFL is super slow, but when it moves quick, you know? So it's really interesting how it'll all play out. I don't know. If they do trade Vita Vea, though, which we're getting into these hypotheticals just because, hey, he requested a trade, and by golly, we're going to talk about it. So yeah. If he were to be traded, are there any guys that you can think of? Like, there aren't any – this is getting back into sort of the different ways that I think there's maybe a lack of understanding from the public perspective, like from the average Bucks fan perspective. Not that I know way more than them or anything like that, but at the same time, like, I think that there's a disconnect in terms of, like, there's just no player-for-player trades very often in the NFL. Like, you're not trading for prospects. Yeah. Like, you're trading for
– rare.
Right, very rare. So, you know, if you think of – another team trading for him, I don't think that they're going to find Vita Vea's replacement in terms of a trade partner, but there are free agents, which I use there are very loosely, because R might not even be the right. Really, there is a free agent, Greg Gaines, who I think might be the ideal replacement.
might be the only replacement.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, even then, woof, you know, like,
yeah.
Brutal stuff. Were there any other names that you saw on the free agency list that you thought maybe could do the job?
I struggled to even, like, look through that list. Like, some of those names I didn't even know. Obviously Vea's skill set by itself is not replaceable, especially this late in the offseason. You're just looking for a guy who, like, fits your scheme, knows the scheme, knows the guys on the team. So Greg Gaines is probably back on the roster if this goes through. I'm sure Zach would be so happy about that. I struggle to think about Greg Gaines being on the field for 50% of the season. That would be a trip. I mean, the other thing with Vea is that, like, he plays 50% of the snaps. That's another tough thing. He's not an every down player.
Right.
Which is also tough to value. I honestly couldn't think of another free agent defensive tackle off the top of my head.
No, me neither. And I think what makes these conversations even harder is that, and we'll get to the second half of this episode with the Baker stuff, but they do have to think about that potentially in terms of paying Vita Vea and potentially paying Baker Mayfield. But also, like, Yaya Diaby's going to be a free agent soon. Who knows what they want to do with Bucky Irving? I don't know how that's going to work out. There's just other decisions that have to be made. And I know Yaya Diaby hasn't been a world beater or anything like that, but he's at least been an average pass rusher, maybe even above average. And that's, you know, that's probably more valuable than a guy on the wrong side of 30 that all the reasons that we mentioned, only plays 50% of the snaps, only is really a run defender, not a very good pass rusher. Like, the value there is just very different. Mm-hmm. And so Yaya Diaby is someone that you want to keep around because he's a good bit younger. Like, he's only going to be, I think, 26 or 27 going into the season. Regardless of the specifics, the general point still stands that he's his best days of football. Like, he still has some good productive years of football ahead of him. Vita Vea might still too, but you're just taking a much higher risk. And the reward is that you get a run stopping nose tackle, which can be valuable, but at the same time, I mean, we've talked, you know, you can talk about it to death. Like, the NFL is super pass heavy, and we've got teams that are using, like, nickel as their base at this point. Like, the Seattle Seahawks brought in Nick Emmanuel in the draft because they wanted him to be, like, a big nickel so that they could run that formation a lot more. So it's just, you know, there's it's constantly like the back and forth between the offense and the defense with schemes and trends and all that stuff. And so, you know, it's just having a big chunk of change, a big chunk of your salary cap being eaten up by a guy with a role as specific and niche as Vita Vea's on the wrong side of 30 is just, you know, it's a tough proposition for sure. Yeah. So, but at the same time, man, if he goes, the Bucks are going to have a big, that's a hole to replace.
And I will say to his credit, I do think that his play style will age well.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, the pass rush and the explosiveness tends to be the first thing to go. Right. Luckily, that's not already not a strength. So it's not like he's leaning on either of those things. He really just needs to be a big force right there in the middle.
Yeah, he's the anchor. Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, we'll see, man. We'll keep talking about it. We'll keep monitoring it because, like Tyler, like you said, man, this is not going to be over in a week. This might not even be over in 2 weeks. So it's definitely something that's going to come back up on this show. We're going to keep bringing it up next week and probably the week after that, unless there's some resolution. But if there's a resolution, we'll talk about that too. But we'll go into the second half of our episode. But before we do, if you are looking at your wardrobe and thinking, man, I need to replace something in my wardrobe that is not Greg Gaines, I'm looking for more of an upgrade than that. Sorry, Greg Gaines is taking a beating this episode, and wow, to use him as a shop ad, but my goodness. But head to shop.rblrsports.com. We've got some great stuff there. We've got some great gear. And we'll give you promo code Canon, CANNONS, because we know the Vita Vea trade request, man. It's depressing. It's a bummer. So type that bad boy in, get 10% off your entire order. That's your entire order, not just Bucks related stuff. It's Rays, Bucks, Lightning, Rowdies, the Sun, all that stuff. So definitely head there. It's a way to support the podcast. We'd really appreciate it. All right, we'll get into the second half of our episode, which is talking about Baker Mayfield. And it's a shame Zach Blaine is not here, but wishing Zach all the best. But he'll be back, I'm sure, to defend Baker's honor, because I don't know that he would like what I have to say about it, because I think we might have disagreed. And Tyler, you might disagree a little bit too, but I know that we're going to have a great conversation about this. But Baker Mayfield not getting an extension, at least for now. That's the story. It was reported by Rick Stroud. He reported that both sides are walking away from the negotiation table because Baker was very clear that as soon as things started kicking into gear, he would be fine playing out his contract, but he doesn't want to talk about it during the season. He wants to focus on helping the team, all the right things. Like, this isn't like Baker's being a diva, nothing like that at all.
Yeah.
This is actually him being a pretty good dude. Like, this is actually him doing what's right. And gosh darn it, he does his PR has been very good since leaving the Browns. He has done a very good job of seeming like a nice guy, because hey, you know, he very well could be. But regardless, he's doing all the right things here. This is not meant to be a Baker hate session, as much as I might have to walk that fine line. But what are your initial thoughts when you saw this news kind of come up on Twitter? Were you a little nervous? Were you maybe kind of fine with it? Like, I don't know. I was kind of okay with it. I kind of expected it. But what were your thoughts when you first saw it?
Honestly, like, this isn't the first time the Bucks have played this merry-go-round.
Right.
They've absolutely been blessed with, you know, top 10, borderline top 5 quarterback play since he got here. And when he's healthy, we'll say that. I think that it was ultimately really a surprise. Like, he signed a $2 million deal his first go around here.
Maybe $2 or $6 million. It was really cool.
He barely beat out Kyle Trask for the job. That's the that's the crazy part to me. Kyle Trask, who no longer has a job.
Yeah, he's done. He's cooked.
But like, this feels like it could go very poorly for both sides here.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
If Baker plays on his current deal and balls out, he's going to get paid a ton by another team in free agency, and the Bucks are not going to be able to afford him. If he plays on his current contract, gets hurt, God forbid, or plays terribly, he's dare I say it, he's screwed. Who's gonna sign him to another long-term contract after that? He's also on the wrong side of 30 at this point.
Right.
He flamed out in Cleveland, partially due to injuries, partially due to ineptitude from the front office and from Kevin Stefanski and from ownership. But ultimately, that's the – if he were to flame out here, that would be the reputation that he has. Now, am I saying that any of those scenarios are likely? No, I think he'll have a great season this year. I think he'll have a nice bounce back, maybe a couple of playoff wins, hopefully, fingers crossed. Now, in terms of money, what is he worth? It's really hard to say right now.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
His first season here, he was pretty good. His second season here, he was maybe a top three quarterback in the league that year in terms of really statistics great. That he put up. Like, we're talking, what was it, borderline 40 touchdowns?
Yeah, it was
like,
crazy. Yeah,
he played a great season in 2024.
Yeah. Outstanding stuff.
2025 is hard to say because he played through a ton of injuries.
And he started off scorching hot.
Oh, my God. He was the best quarterback in the league through 4 weeks. Yes. I thought he was going to win the MVP.
And then really
whether that was because of playing through injuries, new offensive coordinator,
for sure.
Injuries to the rest of the offense.
Mitigating circumstances, absolutely.
But, like, in the minds of the front office now, you're thinking, well, what do we have here? Is he overpaid now? I don't think so. I don't think even close. But how much are you willing to give him a raise? Because you've got to pay all these guys like we were talking about. You got to pay Vea, hopefully. You got to pay Diaby, definitely. It's like, you know, you do so well drafting, but what's the point in drafting well if you're just going to let all these guys walk out the door because you're not willing to let go of a few?
Right. I do think it's really because one of the topics that I wanted to kind of bring up was just how confident either you or I would be that he returns still. Like there's a very real, I think what in my mind's eye, I think what I see playing out is he has a fine season. They make the playoffs. They win the division. Maybe they get knocked out in the first round or the second round. Maybe they win a game. But he doesn't have an amazing year, but he has a pretty good year, a good enough year to warrant bringing him back, but maybe not quite to the point where he can go out and get, you know, an exorbitant amount of money somewhere else. I think regardless of the season that he has, as long as he doesn't just like totally have just like the worst NFL, like if as long as he doesn't get benched basically, or if he doesn't like have some catastrophic injury, I think he's probably going to get at least $50 million a year pretty easily. And that's something the Bucs should be willing to pay. And I think that if he has a decent enough season and the Bucs are willing to pay him $50 million, then I think both sides, after a feel-good season where they make the playoffs, I think both sides come together and are like, hey, let's work this out. Now, if he has a great season and maybe they don't win the Super Bowl or anything, maybe they win a playoff game or two and then they get knocked out or whatever. But if he has a great season, then I think that's where things get tricky. I think that's where Baker Mayfield probably ends up in another uniform, you know,
especially if he has a great season and the defense is bad again. That is scenario C where everything goes wrong.
Right. Yes. Yes. No, 100%. And that could happen. You know, that's a very
that might be the best possibility on the board in terms of percentage chance.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I absolutely. It's, it's tough. So I don't know, man. It's really brutal. Cause I got to be honest, I don't necessarily blame the Bucs for maybe having some hesitancy because, like, the injuries that he experienced last year, the poor performance that he played last year, like, are those going to go away with age? You know, like, he had to kind of run around a lot. And the Liam Cohen season, he was, like you said, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. But the other two seasons, like, his first season, he was pretty, you know, he was fine. Like, okay. He was an average to above average quarterback. Last season, though, over the course of the season, and again, whether it's injuries, whether it's offensive coordinator, whatever, like, he was a below average quarterback. Like, he was getting outplayed by Quinn Ewers. Like, I know we take a dump on the defense a lot, and rightfully so. Like, that Falcons game, one of the biggest meltdowns I've ever seen from any unit, like 28-3 level bad.
That was maybe the worst I've ever felt going to bed in my entire life.
Yeah, no, it was atrocious. Like, genuinely, like, just and the funny thing was, like, I was there, I was in the tunnel when it was happening. And like, I just was so unsurprised, you know, like, I was just kind of like, yeah, they're probably going to get this first down. Like,
I remember turning to my dad on TV when they got to the third or fourth and 14 or whatever. And I was like, they're going to get it.
They're picking this up. Yeah. Like, they're picking this up.
You could
up.
Feel like, it. You could just feel it. Like, through the TV, you could feel the stadium was deflated.
They had the secondary that they did. They had Vildor or whatever. Anyways, we're not going to – I don't want to – because that's a tough memory. Those are some – I'm sure those are not good feelings for Bucks fans listening right now. But
you win one more game. One more game the whole season. You had all those chances.
And
you
that's what I mean. And so
– Mike Evans.
Right. And I get that, you know – that was probably the biggest example, but there were other times too. Like, if they beat the Dolphins that week, they could have, you know, the like Saints. They could have won. The Saints too. I mean, they were letting Tyler Shove just run all over him, whatever his name. He's great. I don't mean to dismiss him. Like, I'm actually, I was really impressed with him towards the end of the season. But, you know, it's not good. Like, it was not a good ending to the season. It was not a feel good ending. It did not leave a good taste in anyone's mouth. And, you know, I get that he was hurt. I get he was banged up, but he wasn't playing well, you know? And so I definitely understand the Bucs' trepidations about maybe giving a guy like that at his age with the kind of the roller coaster nature of his production over the past few years, where like the highs have been really, really high, but the lows have been, again, getting outplayed by Quinn Ewers and barely squeaking by the Carolina Panthers. And just, you know, I don't know. It was really tough stuff to watch them just flame out the way they did last year. And I get that the defense had their fair share of blame, but the offense was not good either. And it wasn't all Baker's fault, but man, he didn't look great either. And so, it's a little bit of both. But I'm still fairly confident that he returns. Like, Baker seems to like playing here. The Bucs are not, like, they are very adverse to change, for better or for worse. Sometimes it's a good thing, sometimes it's a bad thing. So, you know, I don't know. I understand them not taking a gamble and meeting him whatever number he has. But was this maybe a gamble that you might have been more eager to make if you were Jason Light in the Bucs? Or, like, are you kind of like, man, why didn't they just extend him now?
I think I would have rolled the dice on extending him. I don't know about necessarily $60 million, obviously, or even 50, but meet him somewhere near 50. I think that would have been fair. Yeah. You have no succession plan. There's not a quarterback on this roster that I would like to see in a game other than Baker Mayfield.
Right. Ever. For sure.
Yeah. And you know, you really don't have a succession plan for the foreseeable future, because with the way that this offense is currently structured, you're not going to be getting a top 10 pick. Like, with the cornerstone tackles and the wide receiver core, and frankly, even the running back room, no matter who's playing quarterback and no matter what happens on defense, you're not going to be picking high enough to pick a franchise quarterback at this point. They're kind of stuck in, like, well, not exactly Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, limbo, but, you know, right. We're kind of in that zone now where, like, 9-8 is the floor, 8-9 is the floor. But the ceiling is maybe like 11 wins. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, you're kind of gambling that, frankly, even by not just like having him on the roster, you're gambling that he's going to play well. Like, you might as well just roll the dice and extend him.
Yeah.
Who else is going to be playing quarterback next year? Like,
and that gets into to my next question is the alternatives. Like you said, are they going to draft high enough to get a guy that you would feel comfortable leading their franchise into the future? Would you have to trade up? Which, gosh, trading up just makes me nauseous every time. Like, I hate trading up to draft anyone. Like, it's not about me not looking favorably on Arch Manning or whoever the quarterback is they're aiming for. It has everything to do with just giving up draft picks for a guy that is very much not a sure thing. And so if they let Baker walk, then they would probably, I don't know, you know, go get a veteran. Like, would they go
roll the dice that way now?
Right. I mean, they could have another one of those, try to take a chance on another.
Yeah.
I know they called them Phoenix quarterbacks, or retread is kind of a gross way of putting it, but, you know, cycling through one of the, like, maybe
you end up Kyler Murray. That's
what, yeah, maybe CJ Stroud has a horrible season and he gets let go by the Texans or something.
Even though they just gave him like $200 million.
I think they
just extended him.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, never mind. But regardless, like, maybe whatever other quarterback did, they didn't extend Bryce Young. The Panthers didn't. So I think Bryce Young could be a potential
reach. That would be funny. That would be really funny.
Yeah, that would be very funny. So, like, you know, it would certainly be a step back, and I would not be excited, depending on what they did in the draft. Like, maybe they drafted, like, if they drafted Lenora Sellers, I'm not going to lie, I'd be kind of excited because I really like Lenora Sellers, even though I don't know that he's actually going to be a good NFL quarterback. But that would be kind of fun just because I think he's a really fun quarterback to watch. But it's not exciting. It's not good in terms of the Bucs actually being competitive moving forward beyond this season if they do not extend Baker. So Yeah, it's brutal, man. I don't know what they do. I don't know what Baker wants to do, because I think he's moved around so much in his career that I think that he's kind of settled into Tampa. And I do think it would be a bummer for him if he had to move his family again. Like, he has a family, he has a wife and a kid now. Like, I would imagine he'd want to stay. So I hope that's what ends up happening, because you look around the NFL and there's some weird dudes out there. Like, there's some kind of annoying guys, some guys that can be kind of weird to watch. And while Baker can be frustrating to watch, he's a high energy, high effort guy. Like, as much as I may not always be happy with his decision making, because he kind of can be a pseudo Brett Favre on the field, not off the field.
On the field,
he can be a little bit of a risk taker, a gunslinger, but you know, that's okay. You know, because it leads to some really fun, some fun highlights. So any closing thoughts on the Baker Mayfield extension? Or we've kind of talked about it to death, but any closing thoughts before we close out this show?
Yeah, I just, like, this rookie quarterback class should be good.
Right.
Be a good class with, yeah, Lenore, you know, like you said, Lenore Sellers, Arch Manning, the guy from Oklahoma. Like, it should be a good quarterback class.
Right.
But you're probably not picking high enough to get any of those guys. And yeah, so you're looking at the veteran quarterbacks, and you're looking at Kyler Murray, or I don't know who else would be available. Russell Wilson out of retirement. Like, oh gosh, yeah. What are the odds of you hitting on two, like, veteran quarterbacks in, right, Oklahoma in a row? Yeah. Like, that's slim to none. Yeah. Honestly, it was slim to none that Baker was going to be good here. And so you'd be out of your mind if you thought they were going to do that again.
Right.
You know, Smith going to be 37 next year.
JJ McCarthy might get cut if JJ McCarthy has a...
yeah, I can't co-sign that one. That's all you. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm, yeah, I don't know. It's sad to think about, and it's a bummer, but, yeah, I don't know. We'll see, man. We'll see. But regardless, appreciate y'all for tuning in. Hope y'all enjoyed the show. Hope y'all enjoyed the episode. We'll be back next week. We'll see what news trails in, whether it's Vita Vea getting an extension or getting traded, or maybe Baker Mayfield changes his mind and they go back to the negotiating table and he actually is getting an extension. That would be a feel-good story. But regardless, we'll be back. So give us a like and subscribe on your way out. Excuse me, give us a follow on social media if you liked what you heard. For Mr. Tyler, I am Carter Brantley. This has been RBLR Bucks, but thank you very much. And as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.